Hello, and welcome to the Kimberly Cloud Show. I'm your host, Kimberly Cloud. Today, we have a very, very special guest for the show today. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Kimberly Cloud Show. I am your host, Kimberly Cloud. Today, I have a very, very special guest here for the show today. Can you go ahead and announce to the world who you are and where you're calling from?
Well, I'm Donald Newsom, and I'm right now in Houston, Texas area, Woodland Spring, and I'm calling from the wilderness. A big shout out with love.
Good. And can you go ahead and tell me extensively about your past leading up into your present?
Extensively?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, boy, where do I begin? Well, I was born and raised in British Columbia, Canada. I'm still Canadian. I never did get a dual citizenship, nor my U.S. citizenship, so I'm still Canadian. I've been here since I was 9. I'm in my late 50s now, so I've been here a while. I lived all around, a little bit in Europe, throughout the States and Canada, and now I live in Texas. I miss the West Coast, of course, but it's gotten a little crazy. So I find that Texas is a little more to my liking.
I'm Don. Before we get started, I had a little glitch happen. I'm live on one of my networks, but I'm so let me, when you come back on, we're going to start from the beginning again because it didn't go through. Hold on. Hello, and welcome to the Kimberly Cloud Show. I'm your host, Kimberly Cloud. Today, we have a very, very special guest for the show today. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Kimberly Cloud Show for the second time. I'm your host, Kimberly Cloud. I have a very special guest here for the show today. Can you go ahead and announce to the world one more time your name and where you're calling from?
Well, I'm Donald Newsom, and I'm from the great state of Texas, where everything's just a little bigger than it is anywhere else.
Okay, and can you go ahead and we talk about your past extensively leading up into what you do in your present? You started off saying you were you are Canadian, and you never got dual citizenship, so you can continue.
Thank you. Yeah, I was born in Canada in 1968. And moved to the U.S. when I was 9. I'm state Canadian. I'm loyal that way. I'm not sure why, but I am. I grew up with a gold spoon, you know, in my mouth. You know, a lot of people talk about a silver spoon, but mine was a little more gold. My family had a lot of money. Ungodly amount of money, actually. It was insane. But that was quickly lost. And, you know, my father and mother, you know, kind of went up and down, you know, making a lot and losing, you know, after the first, by the time I was about 7 years old, we were living in squalor. So up until I was 6 and a half, it was the gold spoon and then squalor. You know, you went from a 1.2 million acre ranch to a one bedroom apartment in the only pink building in West Vancouver. In a very slummy area. You know, Christmas was a 5-page list by line item, and you'd have it all. And then you'd get a belt and a pair of shoes.
How was the shift, like, from being in, like, the rich culture all the way down to poverty, back up to being rich again? How did that shift? How did that
It's
shift?
a mind twist. It's a mind
Yeah.
twist. As a young lad, you don't quite understand it, but there's a lesson in everything, no matter what it is. There's always a lesson, or we wouldn't be here. So I've tried to figure out what it all meant, and it's been a great part of my journey. But it's quite it's a twist. I wouldn't recommend it, but it had its flavors. It had its extreme flavors, and I'm truly honest. I wouldn't change a second in my life, in my past.
Me neither.
Yeah, I wouldn't change a second. But I got to see many parts of the world in the very beautiful high-end parts of the world, and traveling and meeting some of the most notable people. And then, of course, the reverse is true.
Where have you, where, who have you seen and where have you been? I would like to explore that.
Well, just John Wayne came to our ranch. Elvis Presley. We were doing deals with Michael J. Fox and Michael Fox's family. Joe, he wanted to start Zolt Cola, or Joe Cola when Zolt Cola came out. Let's see, Bill Gates, when he was starting his funding of Microsoft, Snapple. I've met some of the biggest money bankers and trust fund managers in the world, astronauts, who one of them wanted to start a self-chilling pop can, some drillers, big people of Bass family and others in the oil business. I'm just a lot of people.
Did they ever give you any like advice when you met them? Did any of them ever say, you know what, to get here, I did XYZ? Or did y'all already kind of been from gold to poverty back to gold again, have that connection because they know that it took grit and determination to get back in your position that you're in now?
Well, most of the time I was too young.
Understood.
I was young. I was growing up, and then through my teenage years, and even as a young man, my dad led most of it. We worked with him since we were 15. We've been working for ourselves ever since. My folks passed away in 2008. They stopped working in the 19 around 1995. And my twin brother and I kind of picked off where they left us. And to be honest, they passed away together a few months apart, in a trailer home. Very sick, debilitating. They left us nothing. So they went from all extremes. It really was. It was quite a rush, quite a ride.
How did Mr. Newsom find his way without nothing into being a businessman? And was he ever that businessman when he was a teenager? Did he ever have that drive?
My father was a driven guy. He was driven by honor and integrity and personal strength. He just had that about him. He believed that if someone else could do it, he could do it. And he, you know, if it just mattered him putting in his time and effort, well, then he's going to succeed. That's how he believed. And he went about proving that many times. Yeah. He just very driven.
Whether or not you had money or not, it was out of your control because it was like, you know, you were born into money, you had money taken away, and now you're back in a powerful position that you're in. So how have you felt your values have grown from you when you weren't, when you were young and were in poverty?
Oh, when I was young, I was so naive. I'm still quite naive, to be honest. I don't think you outgrow the naivety. Life to me is a school. I believe that we live forever. We're here to learn lessons, and that those lessons are what's most important. And when we die, you know, it doesn't really matter how much you had, it's what you did with it. It's really a matter of communication. That's the bottom line. In all of life and all of creation and consciousness, hereafter and the now, it's all about our relations with others. It's the communication, because it's the only thing that'll last. There won't be anything physical that'll last. It'll just be the time, the quality of that time and feeling that you have with others. That's it. So everything should move in that direction. Your money, your influence, your power, your actions should really move in a way that reflects that understanding, to communicate and to help others enjoy, because it's a matter of learning, but learning to enjoy the journey that we all just agreed to do, and to help each other out and to understand our, you know, who we are, right? That old saying, who we are and what our purpose is. Why did we join this great creation? Why are we a part of it? What does it mean? If it's forever, what ultimately is the reason for it? And that's really the answers, or the journey, the evolution of the journey that I try to keep in mind at all times. So, you know, the money is meaningless ultimately. It's just, it provides a tool for us, especially BBS Radio TV, which is something I love. I created it for different reasons, but the main reason is so that people can communicate with others the truth without censorship, without control, without media manipulation, and to do it in a safe place where there's a company, a corporation that's looking after them and is not going to do them wrong. And there's very few of those out there. I mean, if any. And we, you know, we're going to prove that that's who we are. That's what it's all about. And we're going to evolve this platform to a point where hopefully anybody and everybody who has something to say it in safety and in honesty, and can say it to the world.
I stand by the word, like my word, that Don Newsom, he helped me get where I'm at now. He built a Google profile for me. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be listed in certain places. So what is it, Mr. Newsom, about BBS Radio that drew you to? When did you say, I want a radio company? How did you start?
Now we're going to get a little weird, okay? And it's hot in here, so forgive me. I'm perspiring. It is a little hot here. I should have turned down the AC. But look, I'm radical, folks. I'm a radical fella. If I told you what I believe in and all the things and all the reasons behind it, you'd think I'm in that case. So I'm not going to go that far, but I will say this. During that journey, there was a time when I didn't understand anything, and I was at a very low point, and my folks had lost everything, and my father wanted to, you know, rent a boat and blow himself up, kept talking about it, you know, losing everything. It was hard on him. Look, and he went into medical centers and psych centers, and my mom was just trying to distance us from that, and we didn't want to because we wanted to help Dad, so we always went with his crazy ideas of to do more and get another company and start another company and fund it and start another one. And when he finally slowed down, and my brother and I thought, no, we're done raising money for other people, other companies. Everybody we met, most people in our lives, were not honorable. They weren't spiritual. They were looking after themselves, and they didn't care how they got to where they were going. They were surface dwellers. And most people on this planet you meet are surface dwellers. They're just going to be living on the surface. There's not much underneath. and you'll know what makes them tick. They'll prove it. And we met a lot of those people in our lives. And my brother and I had enough of it. And we were raising millions and millions and millions of dollars through people we knew very well. And it got to be overwhelming when these people would spend the money, lie, they were corrupt, they just did unscrupulous things. And finally, my brother and I said, we got to do something ourselves and just, you know, self-funded, do something ourselves and get away from this, because the stress was extreme. I mean, Doug and I would break out in hives along our chest, our neck, our face. You'd be crying. You wouldn't know when you were crying. It was just debilitating. The body gets debilitated, the mind, when you're under so much stress. And so I hit a low point, and I was driving back to where I lived. And I was in an old car and the radio was off. In fact, I didn't even know if it worked. I never turned it on. And all of a sudden, I heard this shh. Where is that coming from? And I looked down and it was the radio. And I had this instant feeling that something was around. I know, crazy. This is one of those stories, folks. Something was around. And I knew it. There was no guess. I knew it. I knew something was there. And so I said out loud while I was driving, you know, if something's there, prove it. Turn up the volume twice as loud. And all of a sudden, shh. I mean, it was just massively loud the instant I said it. And then I got these goosebumps. I was just, these are things I'll never forget. And I figured because I was not far from home, about a mile from where we were renting a home, and it was a dirt road, and I pulled off the dirt road. This was early in the morning. This was around 9:30 in the morning. And a beautiful sunny day, not a cloud in the sky, beautiful, bright, sunny day. And this was in Simonton, Texas. And so I pulled off the side of the road, and just put my head down. And I just, you know, was thinking. I was overwhelmed. And I just wanted life to change. I just wanted to, you know, make something of my life, do something without the stress. And eventually, you know, I kind of came out of my reverie a little bit and looked up, and something weird was happening. And I put my head out the car window like this. And there was a cloud above my car, a white cloud above the size of the car. And I put it out a little farther. I was looking around to see if there's any more clouds. There's no cloud, but this cloud was like 10 feet above my car. You can imagine, 10 feet above my car. So I put my head back in, and I looked out the driver's window, and the cloud started, I could see the edges of it in the driving window, and it kept coming down and down and down. And eventually, when I looked up, I saw it had come through the top of my car. So I'm looking up, I'm seeing this cloud coming through my car, and it kept coming and kept coming. And eventually, you know, it covered my eyes, and I'm seeing this cloud. All I could see, like you'd be in a cloud looking around, and then I look down at the baseboards. I could still see the baseboards, but that's weird. So I look back up the cloud, look back down the baseboards. Did this several times, right? Looking over, but it kept descending, and eventually it descended all the way through. And when it got where I was just in this cloud, it's that. You know how a lot of people say, I was in a position, I felt love, such love that I can't explain it. That's, I'll just leave it at that. It's exactly what it is. But it was so overwhelming. And I knew that I was loved. I knew that I had purpose, that I was loved, that everything was going to be fine. But it was just on and on. It was just total understanding. And then the cloud left the same way it came, little by little. And as it receded, it was dark outside. I thought it was like a couple minutes that this had occurred, but it was dark outside. So at that point, I drove home, but I had this weird thing. I was going like this with my ear all the time because I had this little thing in my ear now. Oh, that's crazy stuff. This little thing in my ear, it almost felt like a piece of squishy, hard, maybe hard plastic, but you can still squish it a little bit, you know? Couldn't squeeze it, but and it never hurt, you know? And that stayed in me for about, over a dozen, almost a little over 10 years. And during those 10 years, I experienced things I can't describe. I mean, just I saw every kind of UFO up close, far away. I saw orbs in front of me. I took video. This, a lot of it burned up in the fire. In fact, all of it did, the Paradise Campfire. But I filmed a lot of it. I saw, top hat, where they. UFOs look like top hatters to the small ones, to the large orb ones, to the huge ones. And I saw, a blue lady, I know, strange. She looked European with long dark hair, thin, beautiful, perfectly European, just very blue skin, like blue, the color blue. Lyra was her name. I met another one that was one of the crop circle builders. He called himself Mike. He was 5'4". He had a pug nose like this, like someone punched him in the nose. He had, this little larger eyes than than we have, but so slight you couldn't really tell. I mean, he could pass for human. He had a short crew cut. It was dark, just cut like this, just like an average haircut. No, nothing special about this, except for the suit he wore, which was kind of a gray green kind of metallic-y, dull
How
metallic-y.
did you know he was a alien then, or some type of being?
Because he floated down in front of me. Yeah, right in front of me, standing up, coming down like this as you're standing up right down in front.
Tell me the story behind what happened and how did he float and what was the conversation?
I was walking around a lake with my dog. I was taking my dog for a walk, and I was I enjoyed the walks. I did it all the time because I always got to experience wonderful things. I'm a nature lover. I'm seriously a nature lover, folks. I might even be a tree hugger. But yeah, I was walking around, and the dog stopped behind me, just sat down, and I was saying, "Come on, come on!" And the dog wouldn't come, just real quiet, just sat there. And I kept walking, dog wouldn't follow. And then I looked over and I looked up. And this guy's floating down right in front of me. And I couldn't say a word, couldn't really move. I was just, I don't know whether I was stunned or couldn't move, but I didn't move. Nothing. And he just came right down in front of me and just stared right at me, just kept staring at me for a long time. Just stared right at me. I stared right at him. I got a good close look at him, boy. Yeah, it was strange. And from what I understand, he was, and this is, I can't explain to you how they communicate. I mean, I can guess, but said his name was Mike. He was one of the crop circle builders, that we have a name for him, and I can't remember it because it's been so long ago. I used to be able to rattle it off the top of my head, but I can't. It's a weird, strange name, but he basically looked human. He didn't speak to me a lot. Really, I think what the most he wanted to inform me of was a few things. One, early Egypt was the time when they walked among us. Early Egypt. After that, many of them laugh. A lot of people don't tell you this. It was early Egypt when they really walked, when we communicated, walked, and there was an openness about it all, and that they'd be back, and that they're already, back, but that they would be back among people. And from my understanding, this timeline happens in the 2030s. Not, and I don't know why. Yeah, I think I got 2034, something like that, in the mid 2030s. I could be wrong. Maybe I misread it. I don't. It's been a while, long time ago. Things kind of, you want to believe so bad, but you're wondering, oh, was I psychotic? I wasn't. I mean, I was a normal guy, But yeah, this is what happened. I saw UFOs that did the light orbs like you see on the movie Close Encounters, when they start doing all the lights, you know, and you get all this imagery. And I've seen, you know, one time I was on the balcony of a three-story building. This was in Paradise. This was the last experience I had when we had first moved to California. I went out on the balcony and I stood there. And there was a rail, wooden rail, and I stood about 2 feet away from the railing, and I was looking. I just had a sense to go out there, stand there. And I started to just close my eyes and, you know, put my feelers out there. And then when I opened it, this massive, massive UFO, just, you know, from the tree line, was there just giving all these lights. And then this image formed. It was that European, blue European lady, or off-world or whatever. And all of a sudden, my mind just went, I started to get these pictures, just weird imagery.
Can I ask you a question? Is that why you probably think that you've been influenced by aliens? Because you've been influenced. Obviously, they want to communicate with you. So do you think that that is the...
Well, they don't. I haven't seen or experienced one thing, as much as I beg to and sit and meditate and say, please, did I do anything wrong? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing. And I would have to say that's because I haven't. I'll leave that for another show. But, you know, you have to be, I think, you have to be really living and working with real goodness from your heart. And you have to want to transcend anything else but goodness and love. And if you're not doing that, you know, chances are, what do you have to offer? You know, I think it was because I had a, you know, that one moment, and that there was many things they wanted to show us, which led, of course, to BBS Radio. I mean, this is part and parcel of it. But I was a twin. And often enough, twins have sometimes unique things happen to them. I don't know why. Maybe that was part of the reason. But I had one day I asked to have that thing removed because my wife always said it's, you know, she always thought, well, why can't you get that removed? It's just, you know, it's always, you know, when she's feeling and smelled metallic-y. You know, it had that, you know, kind of, you know, I was always playing with it, and, you know. And so I went out one day and asked to have it removed. I sat down in the middle of my yard, asked to have it removed, fell asleep. Woke up and it was gone. And I ran to my wife. I said, it's gone. It's gone. They took it out. Yay. Never saw a thing or experienced a thing since. And I wish with all my heart I'd never asked to have it removed. I truly do. But I did. And that might be it. It might be because I'm not living the right way. It might be. There are many reasons that I don't have the answer for.
What is your vision for, because we're about to close, but what is your vision, and well said, by the way, but what is your vision for BBS Radio and for the future of BBS Radio?
Well, BBS Radio really is an outcry. It's a cry to help. It's allowing people, like Twitter now has coined it, you know, people are the media now, right? That was our shtick. We wanted to be the people's PC of media. We were sick and tired of the lies, the control structure, and nobody was talking about anything that had anything to do with truth from 9/11 on. And it was sick and revolting, and we didn't, you know, I couldn't see how things could change unless people could get the truth out there. And the truth about UFOs, the truth about our intelligence services, the truth about the manipulation, control, and politics, the, you know, just on and on. And our medical establishment, things I knew 20 years ago, they're just starting to find now. And, you know, and a big part of that is because there are people like myself and others that want independent media to grow and to be the media. We don't want people following the lies. We don't want you being brainwashed and led astray and living as surface dwellers. There's nothing good that's going to come of it. Nothing. And so unless there are networks that are, you know, out there to help people tell the truth and be safe in that environment and to say what they have to say no matter what, you know, we're not going to get any farther. The truth actually can solve a lot of problems, but people have to, you know, hear it, be able to hear it. And we want to be one of those avenues where, you know, there's no censorship, there's no control. We've taken on, many of our shows have been blackballed and blacklisted from every network under the sun, from major networks to minor networks, you name it. We've had, our hosts have been blacklisted and blackballed and blackholed and kicked off networks, and you know, and we take them in and we say, that won't happen to you here. We'll figure it out as we roll. We'll take the hit. And we do. It doesn't do us any favors as a network. I mean, we're not getting all the big money jumping in saying, hey, we want to make you guys superstars, because that's just not in the plan. It's not in their plan. So we've been doing this. It's a self-fulfilling situation and self-actualizing, actually, because we've become better people. You know, I've learned a lot from the people on this network, just an amazing group of people. Our hosts are fabulous. And, you know, their stories and their insight and their knowledge is just unparalleled. So it's just a pleasure to be able to develop something that will allow people that kind of a forum for their voice. And that's what it's really all about.
So how can the people, well said, by the way, how can the people reach you?
Well, they can go to bbsradio.com. That's boy Sam. It used to be bloginservice.com, and then we added broadcasting. So it became blogin to blog in service to blogin broadcasting service, BBS. And so bbsradio.com, you can contact us at contact@bbsradio.com. Our toll-free number is 888-710-8061. Someone's always around answering the phones. If we don't, just try again. But people don't shy away from the phones here. We like the personal touch. We like to communicate. We're communicators. We like to gab. I like to gab. So, and everybody we work with has that outgoing nature to them. Otherwise, they aren't worth us. And so, you know, contact us. Don't be afraid. We're very reasonably priced. We'll work with you. And there are many ways that you can, you know, pay program fees. You can do referrals. You can do subscriptions. We have donations. You know, you can make the commissions on referrals. Again, it will work with you. You know, radio and TV is easy. We're in the modern age. There's nothing difficult about it. It doesn't cost you much money. It can be fully interactive from your cell phone, your laptop, your iPad. You can be driving in a truck and do the show on the road. And then we have a host that does that every week, the Junk Refund Show. He's, you know, while he's working at junkyards, he's doing his talk show on the road every week. So you can do it from anything, anywhere. It can be fully interactive. We do all the production and all the editing and handle all the phone calls. We do it all. And then we not only broadcast it, but afterwards it's 24/7 podcasting. You have statistics, you have an array of tools. And again, it's not expensive. And so if you have something to say, or you have a product or book or service, and you want to get the information out there, or you just want an archive of your knowledge, or you're writing a book and you want to interview all the people that are scientists in your genre so that you can write that book and become a number one bestseller, which we've seen many times on our network. Hey, Podcasting is the flavor of the day. It's not going away anytime soon. So have fun with it. Get involved. Call us. We're around.
Well said. Stay on the line, Doug. Thank you, everybody, for joining my show today. Take care. Be safe. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.